In the history of this planet's civilization, some discoveries or inventions have led to breathtaking changes in our lifestyle. Fire, for example, or the wheel. This year, we have developed supercomputers that are capable of performing 2 billion calculations per second. By next year, we expect that capacity to have doubled. If we ever master what we now believe to be the physical impossibility of traveling at the speed of light, so that we ourselves can visit the most distant stars, computers will make that breakthrough possible.
Hello, and welcome to the Hopecast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's the Jennifer to my Marty McFly. Buster Kine is here.
What's up, man?
Is that a weird one?
I think
that
so.
It seems apropos, though. Also joining us, if we've got a Marty and a Jennifer, I guess that'd make him one Mr. Biff Howard Tannen. Leander Caney is here.
Okay. I didn't get it either.
You know, that was your opportunity to call me a butthead, and you totally missed it.
I haven't seen that movie for years.
That is a crying shame. You should watch that whole trilogy at least once a year.
Yeah, I think you're right. Last time I saw it, I did enjoy it.
Great you movie. Did enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh, wow, we actually found a trilogy, a popular trilogy that Leander actually
I know, I liked all three. That's of them. Weird. I liked the first two.
You didn't like the third one?
It was the cowboy one, right?
Yeah, that was
the weakest of the lot. I don't know, was any good?
Yeah, it was all right. Great.
Biff Mad Dog Tannen? No?
Yeah, that was
no,
awesome.
No, not ringing a bell.
You know, it's funny, when I was doing these intros, I was like, these intros may fall on deaf ears because these movies are so old now.
I know.
That a lot of people probably just haven't seen them. They're classics in my book. I'm sure to many people listening, it's like it's impossible to believe that there are people that have never watched the Back to the Future series. But didn't they come out in like 1985?
Yeah.
I think the first one may have come out in 85.
You're an old fogey. You're referencing stuff that's so old even I can't remember.
I know. Most people on the show don't know that I'm actually 68 years old. I was in my mid-40s when these movies came out. So I remember them, and I love them dearly. But in any case, welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. We got so much great stuff in the show notes this week. I'm not even sure we're going to make it through all this stuff. So here's what we got. Let's see here. We're going to talk about how some of iPhone 8's biggest features could be disabled at launch. We're going to talk about the new Apple Back to School promo. They're giving away some good shizzle that you may want to know about if you're thinking about buying a new Mac. You can pretend to be a college student for a day or two. we're gonna regale you with the story of Steve Jobs' iconic mock turtleneck. You may not have heard this story. I think it's fascinating. It's Steve Jobs' official Apple uniform. He was trying to get the whole company to wear uniforms, but unfortunately, that didn't work out. It was just him that ended up with the uniform. So we'll tell you that story. And then also, I want to talk a little bit about the HomePod and the magic behind it. The HomePod has some interesting technology that makes it truly a smart speaker. And I'm not talking about the Siri technology that's going to be built in. I'm talking about the actual speaker technology itself and how it, using algorithms, can fine-tune itself to your space to make it sound the best. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And if all that weren't enough, we're going to go through more of iOS 11's best unknown features. We were doing this series a while back, and we kind of got distracted, and we didn't review the final set of features that we were going to cover. So we'll do that, and we have time. Jeez, look at all this. Now that I'm saying it all out loud, I'm like, how are we possibly going to make it through all this?
We're already halfway through a lot of time.
What was I thinking? It's going to take us 20 minutes just for me to tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to wrap up with a story about Steve Jobs' immense generosity. Many people have criticized Steve Jobs and his lack of philanthropy. But did you know that he used to buy Scott Forstall lunch every single day? And Scott Forstall recently told this story, and it had a really, I thought, a really hilarious ending. So we'll wrap up the show with a little bit of story time. Before we jump into the fun, let me go ahead and say thank you to Shutterstock for supporting this episode. Shutterstock, you may know, is the home of royalty-free photos, but they offer so much more. You can kickstart your next interactive project with video clips or music tracks from their collection. They have all of your creative needs served to you in one place. And you could take advantage of a 20% off discount that Shutterstock is offering our listeners for a limited time at shutterstock.com/cultcast. That's shutterstock.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Backblaze for supporting this episode. What is Backblaze? Well, it's unlimited cloud backup for your Macs and your PCs. You could back up documents, music, photos, drawings, projects, everything you got. Access all your data anywhere in the world and restore just one file or all your files. The choice is yours. You can get started with a 15-day free trial at backblaze.com/cultcast. backblaze.com/cultcast. Okay, let's dive into the first story here. iPhone 8's biggest features could be disabled at launch, Buster.
Oh, tell me more. That could be crazy. Well, supposedly it's wild. Mayhem at Apple campus as they're trying to finalize iPhone 8 features. And there's a report from Fast Company that says that both the wireless charging and facial recognition on the iPhone 8 isn't like quite ready yet. So Apple, like the portrait mode on the iPhone 7 Plus, won't launch it like with the phone, or maybe it'll be like beta mode, or just the software won't be turned on. So that's the latest rumor. I don't know if I believe it, though.
Two interesting parts of this story to me, and we've heard this first part before, is there's a sense of panic in the air at Apple as the engineers are scrambling to iron out the software bugs that are affecting these features. We've heard this almost this exact phrase in previous rumors about parts of the iPhone, and it just seems like they are in serious crunch mode to get this stuff out the door. Also, you remember when they did this for the portrait mode and it just didn't really turn out to be that big of a deal? Like
right.
No one even cared.
And yeah, so the report says, I mean, well, I would care about wireless charging. That would be weird because that's like, seems like it's strictly hardware. And so for that not to be ready, that would be weird if wireless charging isn't. I don't think it would be a big deal if facial recognition isn't available at the get-go, because the report says that Apple will have a Touch ID sensor under the screen, so like you'll still be able to use that. But that's, you know, other reports have conflicted that and said that it might not have one at all. So
these reports are all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all over the place. I mean, I think it was just last week we were talking about how, according to Ming-Chi Kuo, he didn't think that the iPhone was going to have Touch ID at all. They were just going to do facial recognition because they couldn't get the Touch ID sensor to work. And that developers were scrambling to figure out what to do. And then this report directly contradicts it. So I don't really know what we're going to get come September. This actually might end up being a surprise. Maybe Apple's floating all these rumors just to kind of throw us all off the trail so that we'll actually be surprised for once when something comes out. Unlike the last WWDC where literally our entire checklist of stuff that we've been talking about for months was revealed one after the other. It was like, this is unbelievable. Like, there's just... there are no secrets anymore at these things. So
well, that's not. You look at all these conflicting rumors. Who knows what's going on, right?
Yeah, well, that's my point. There actually might be a surprise,
right? Because obviously some of this is accurate, but there are so many conflicting stories. You don't know which one is accurate and which one isn't. Is it Touch ID below the screen? Is it included or not? Does it use facial recognition?
Tim Cook is playing 6D chess. Not even 4D, not even 5D, 6D. He operates in dimensions that we haven't even considered exist yet.
Well, the facial recognition stuff is kind of convincing, right? Because they've got, you know, the rumor that they have a laser scanner in the front and back cameras to do all this kind of 3D range finding. And that seems likely, you know, like it's the same kind of thing that we've seen already with the iPhone 7 portrait mode. You know, it's using that stereoscopic effect to create a fake bokeh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can definitely see that that's kind of plausible, kind of believable. I want to believe it. I do believe it.
I want to believe, and now I do believe. I've convinced myself that it will work flawlessly.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. We got so much in here. Let's just keep this train rolling here. So, good news for all of you trying to buy a new Mac or an iPad actually as well. Apple has announced their back-to-school promo, And I think this is exactly the same as last year. Do you remember, Buster, what they were giving away last year? They were giving away Beats headphones, weren't they?
Beats headphones, yeah. I got a pair. Woo-woo.
Oh, you did? Okay. There you go. So for those of you who purchase a new iPad Pro and pretend that you are a student, you can get either the 10.5 or the 12.9-inch model, and you will receive a free set of Beats X wireless headphones worth $150. If you don't want those, you can upgrade to the PowerBeats 3 earphones for $50 or the Solo 3 headphones for $150 and be the envy of all your friends. Those ballers with the funds to purchase a qualifying Mac will receive a free pair of Solo 3 headphones worth 300 boons. Eligible machines include the MacBook Pro, the MacBook Air, iMac, and the Mac Pro, all the usual suspects. Not included in the promotion is the Mac Mini, which hasn't been updated in 1,001 days now. So I don't know why you'd be buying one of those anyway, but if you do, you won't be getting any free headphones. Although, funny enough, if you got a pair of Solo 3 headphones with the Mac Mini, it'd be you'd be in a situation where your headphones have a chip that's more powerful than the Mac Mini. You might as well be running Mac OS on the Solo 3 headphones at that point. I kid. I know there's some Mac Mini fans out there. They're gonna get angry at me and do nothing about it, but just be mad at me for saying that. What were you gonna say, Lander?
Well, Busta, which ones did you get last year?
I got the wireless, the ones, wireless Beats.
Did you sell them?
No, I kept them. Yeah, I'm wearing them right now.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And how good are they?
Yeah.
They're decent, you know.
It's smart of Apple to do this, right? Because you're getting something that's $300 worth of value, but it only cost them like $8 or $9 to produce.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they've returned to hardware finally as well. The hardware giveaways, dude, they're really tempting.
Even I was tempted to get a new MacBook Pro because you just sell the headphones on eBay. And so it's essentially like getting a discount. And so it really does make it worth it. It gives you a much bigger discount if you have the student discount and then also you have the headphones discount. And I will at least bring up the fact that those people who have a Discover card, a credit card, I think it's popular in the United States. I don't think it's used elsewhere. But they have an ongoing promotion where if you buy it through the Discover website portal, you get 5% back on your purchase. So it gives you another 5% discount, which is one of the best ways to get an Apple discount that's out there, I think. So you can save a whole bunch of money. This is the best time of year, I think, to actually buy an Apple device.
And then, you know, how do you pretend that you're a student? You've done this multiple times, right?
What? Pretend. Just go on the website and go to the education portal. They don't even do anything.
They don't check or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you have to put in a .edu email address or something like that?
No. Just you have to go to the education portal. That's really it.
It's literally the only thing you have to do is go to the part of the Apple website that sells education stuff. It's just a different URL. That's it. It might make you say what college you go to. I don't know if they still do this.
I don't think they do that either.
Because they used to ask you where your college was located, and then you'd put in your like zip code, and it'd be like, "Is this your college?" And you'd click yes, and then it would take you into your college's portal.
Now I don't think they even do that. Now they just explain like who it's for, and it is kind of broad. Like, you know, if it's for somebody in the education field or something like that, right? So, you know.
Yeah, if you're married to a teacher, if you've ever met a teacher, if you've ever spoken the words teacher, you qualify. So I don't know if they do this in Europe. This is something that you can kind of sneak your way into in the U.S., but I'm not sure how.
I remember we got one a couple of years ago because my wife was on the PTA, and we said, you know, it was... Mm-hmm. We were in the PTA, and I believe that was... She was eligible, you know, it was, really? It was perfectly legit, yeah.
I once dated a lunch lady. Does that make me... do I qualify?
Yeah.
I still got her hairnet, too. Every once in a while, I smell it. Okay, well, let's see here. Before we move on, let me take a moment to say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. What is Casper? Why? It's a obsessively engineered mattress available to you at a shockingly fair price. The supportive memory foams in Casper mattresses create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right amount of sink, just the right amount of bounce. And the best part is you can try a Casper in your home for 100 nights risk-free. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. That's because Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to be spending a third of your life in your bed. If you're in the US or Canada, you also get free shipping. And I always tell people, check out the reviews for Casper online. Check them out on Amazon. You can check them out on Casper's website. They have over 20,000 reviews and an average rating of 4.8 out of 5 stars. Casper mattresses are quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And if you want to check one out, head on over to casper.com/cultcast. That's casper.com/cultcast. You can get $50 towards the purchase of any mattress. That's casper.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Oh, let's move on to this story. Okay, this is a great one. So Steve Jobs and his iconic mock turtleneck. Some of you may think that Steve Jobs may have stumbled onto this iconic look. No, he didn't. This was an intentional outfit that was hewn by a very famous designer. Leander, please tell us more about the Steve Jobs turtleneck.
All right. Well, Jobs, you know, is well known as being a fan of Sony. He always admired Sony. And he went on a trip in the 80s to Japan and was, you know, met and guided through the Sony factories by the Sony chairman, Akio Morita. And he took Jobs on a tour of Sony's factories. And while there, he saw that all the workers wearing uniforms. And when he asked Morita why, he said that it was to foster camaraderie between the co-workers. And this struck Jobs as a good idea. So when he came back to Apple, he suggested that everyone in Apple wear a uniform. And he actually came back with some samples. So he told everyone that, you know, they were going to wear these vests. And then, and according to Walter Isaacson's biography, Jobs was quoted as saying, "I came back with some samples and told everyone it would be a good idea. It would be great if we could all wear these vests. Oh man, did I get booed off the stage? Everybody hated the idea." End quote.
Can I say, vests are a terrible idea. I actually love the idea of outfits, and I think it does build a sense of camaraderie. But vests, really? Vests is the way you want to go?
Yeah, well, I wonder what they were. You know, that'd be interesting to find out. What did he mean, vests? Were they it's not clear that they were the actual turtlenecks that he ended up wearing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess that they were designed by by Miyake, this famous Japanese clothing designer. So, you know, while he was talking about getting uniforms for everyone in Apple, he asked him to create a uniform for himself. And he ended up Miyake created 100 black mock turtlenecks just for him. And this is like the uniform that he adopted back in the late 90s when he came back to Apple. And, you know, it's like it's rare to see him without, you know, when he was wearing anything different. Didn't he wear a suit one time when he went to Tokyo? I believe that was
the
one time.
Suits. There are some YouTube videos where he's wearing suits, but these are pre-90s.
Right, yeah. I think after he came back to Apple, you know, like he started wearing the turtleneck mm-hmm. and the jeans and the New Balance sneakers, I think more or less full time. I talked to someone who said that the only time he changed it was he used to wear shorts sometimes in the summer. But otherwise, that was what he wore.
But he still
every
wore
day.
The turtleneck.
Yeah, he did. He wore the turtleneck. And you know, like it would be great to see a picture of his closet, wouldn't it? It would just be... You know, jeans, New Balance sneakers, and hundreds of turtlenecks. Yeah.
What I didn't realize is that he actually wore those at Apple every day too. I thought that was just a stage thing.
No, apparently not. Apparently he wore them every day. Because I remember looking into this a few years ago and getting interested in it. I wrote a story about it for Wired, and talked to some Apple people, and they said, yeah, you know, he used to wear the turtlenecks to Apple every day. And the only time, you know, like I said, that they'd see any variation in what he wore was when he wore shorts some days.
That's funny. I can't even imagine Steve shorts. Jobs wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good reason why, you know, didn't Zuckerberg talk about this? Or someone wrote a story about Zuckerberg. He does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
He's got a very limited wardrobe.
Really?
And it's because, it's like he doesn't want to, you know, his job is making, and they explained it this way. They said that, you know, his job is making decisions all day. Right, he's going to make hundreds of decisions, and to make his life simpler, he wants to cut out the decision of what to wear every day. like by cutting that out, it sort of lightens his cognitive load. It does something he doesn't have to think about. You know, it's like taking off his plate. And the same thing.
He should get a stylist then.
I guess, but
seriously,
then,
just get a stylist, man. I mean, let's be honest. He could use a stylist. He could use a stylist, and then that way you have someone making all the decisions for you. Well, it's like here's the jeans you're gonna wear.
His wife could do that, couldn't she?
Put on what?
Yeah, his wife could do that, just like my wife does for me.
There you go.
But then, yeah, but then she wants you to put something hideous on, and you're like, and then you have to get into a fight about it, right?
That's when you end up on stage with one of those dress shirts with the super intricate, elaborate cuffs that are like half rolled up, like Eddie Q. Yeah. What do you want to bet that his wife put him in those? And he's like, really? You think this is a good idea? And she's like, oh, they're beautiful.
Honey, yeah. Just
and
trust
everyone's
me.
Clowning is on it? Him.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg. Anyway, I'm not going to go. I don't want to be mean, so I'm not going to say anything else.
Apparently, he's going to, Issey Miyake, the designer, the clothing designer, he's going to be coming out with these for the public. It's a very, very similar one. It's not quite the same, but it's very similar for $270. Yeah, $270 each. $270 each.
Right.
My whole wardrobe is less than, you know, is half of that. Do you think they'll come to Ross? That's when I'll pick up a set.
Yeah.
And they get discounted at Ross.
I'm sure people will be throwing them away there.
Yeah, well, you know, they a lot of high-end stuff does end up there eventually. Anyway, so if you want to dress like Jobs, you can get your own version of this mock turtleneck. Actually, a new version he's coming out with, I believe, this month, and it's going to cost a cool $270.
So if you want to cosplay as Steve Jobs at the next Comic-Con, which would be a huge hit outfit, everyone would know exactly who you were. I think that's a fair price for a mock turtleneck. Yeah. How much does the full turtleneck cost? Like $600? Yeah. This is just the mock.
I thought the original one was like $700 or something
My goodness, wow. Really?
Yeah, I know. It was crazy.
Well, you know, it's kind of sad as well because the new turtleneck looks so similar to the previous version, he's discontinuing the original Steve Jobs design. So Steve Jobs' iconic turtleneck is no more.
Huh.
It's being retired.
Being retired, huh?
Yeah. Although I guess the new one looks exactly like it. So I don't know. Maybe there's more like embellishments on the neck or something. I wonder what the differences are.
It's got a weird name. It's called the Semi-Dull T.
Well, if you're going to charge $270 for a turtleneck, you got to call it something weird. And you can't just call it the Fruit of the Loom special neck comfort fit. It's got to be something real strange. So people are like, oh, it's special. Spend $270 on it. Isn't it made of cashmere, too?
I don't know. I'm just to do a quick search here and seeing if it's on sale yet.
It's got to be made of something special. It has like Rumpelstiltskin's pubes woven into it or something.
Okay, I'm checking out the Issey Miyake site. I'm going to Japan for vacation later in the month, so maybe I'll pick one.
Are you really? Good to know. Nice. When are you going, dude?
Oh, yeah, sorry, July 27th.
God, jeez. How long are you going to be there for?
I put it in the calendar. 3 weeks.
You're going for 3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness! All right, we gotta figure out what we're gonna do. You're gonna be like 20 pounds lighter. Do you know how humid it is in Japan?
Yeah, it's really hot, blazing.
I've never been there before, but my friend used to live there. Weather. Yeah, it's definitely not turtleneck weather, but I hear it's super humid. I'm actually really envious that you're going to Japan. What parts are you gonna go to?
Tokyo and Kyoto.
Man, that's really cool. Okay, well, while you're looking at that, let's move on to the HomePod story. So I have to admit, I can't stop thinking about the HomePods, Leander. I think about them almost every day, and I daydream about putting them in my office. I know this is a weird thing. I don't know why I keep thinking about them, but I'm genuinely very excited for the HomePod. And I think I'm going to get two. I think I'm going to get the white ones because my office is mostly white. I kind of got like a white motif going in here. I'm trying to make it look like an Apple design studio, if you will. And I hope that the sound quality is not a gimmick because the HomePod to me is the perfect blend of high quality speaker and convenience. And a lot of times, high-quality speakers aren't convenient to use. You have to have amplifiers. you have to have other high-end audio gear to drive them, and they have to be positioned correctly in your room to get the best sound out of them, because they are opinionated speakers. Most high-quality speakers are. They're designed to work within certain parameters, and you have to make sure they're positioned well in your room to get the best sound out of them. Well, that's the magic of the HomePods. There have been some patents that have come out that show the way the HomePods are thought to work. And, you know, Apple has said their HomePod smart speaker will reinvent the way we enjoy music thanks to its array of 7 tweeters, 4-inch woofer, and smart spatial awareness, which is kind of where the magic happens in the speaker, that lets it read its environment and tune itself to have the best audio for your environment. So the HomePod sets out to solve this problem of sound variability caused by a speaker's physical location in a room that I just mentioned earlier. And it does that by using an array of 6 internal and external microphones to listen to what's happening in the room. And it has an A8 chip in it to do all the sound processing. And it's measuring a whole bunch of stuff inside your room, including speaker displacement, external pressure, stuff I don't even know what that means, other data gathered by the microphone array. And then it's able to program itself to give you the best sound for your specific environments. All that to say, it's supposed to sound great in any room that you put it in, and it shouldn't matter where in the room that you put it. Like with a normal speaker, if you put it too close to the wall, it can cause distortion in the bass from having it be too close to that wall. Well, with the HomePod, it's supposed to tune itself to either change the frequency of the bass or maybe provide less bass or angle the bass or shoot the bass out, you know, some other speakers or something. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but from all the reviews we've seen, the reviews were surprisingly good. Just the initial reviews of different media outlets that got to hear the speaker in a quiet environment. Basically, all the reviews that we saw, people were impressed with what they were hearing.
And there's a Reddit thread actually that I shared a little while ago. I haven't really dug into the whole thing, but it's like an audiophile subreddit on Reddit, and they were talking about the HomePods, and they were really going off the deep end on this thing. You know, like some of them were getting really, 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 really excited. They were saying that, you know, like this, it contains some of the technology you don't even find in, you know, like some of the audiophile stuff that sells for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And so, you know, I don't know if it's really fair to compare that, because I think they have bigger drivers, but they were saying it's that, you know, they're sort of like the baby version of some of these super, super expensive, super premium audiophile stuff you can get at the real high end of the market. Mm-hmm. So they've got bigger drivers. The HomePod only has 4-inch drivers, right? So, mm-hmm. But it's got 7 of them. And then they were saying that, you know, all of that BO forming is really going to make an amazing difference, because you know, it can beam sound really, really precisely into very, very precise directions, very, very precise parts of the room, and then of course listen, you know, how it sounds if it's bouncing back, so it's self-correcting all the time. And they were really getting excited about this stuff, saying that it looks really amazing, like you know, really, really advanced technology brought down to like the home consumer level.
It's so convenient too. Like I said earlier, usually great sounding speakers aren't convenient to use because you have to have all this extra accoutrement to make the speaker sound good, and you can't easily stream music from your Mac or from Spotify or from Apple Music or something. So this speaker, if it sounds great, is going to be phenomenal because it's going to have the, you know, somewhat audio level or audiophile level of sound. And it's also going to have the incredible convenience of AirPlay and being able to stream stuff, you know, directly from your favorite music apps or from your iPhone. The only thing I hope, and I fear that they're probably not going to build support in, is as a Spotify, I forget the term they use, a Spotify smart speaker, which is not the right terminology. There's a specific term that Spotify uses where the speaker can grab the audio from Spotify on its own. It doesn't need to have a persistent connection to your phone.
Yeah. I can do that now. I can, you know, on Spotify here on my Mac, I can play, you know, to any speaker that is registered with Spotify. So I can play the speakers at home and play the speakers here. Yeah, it's a great, great feature. Yeah, it's a pity.
Isn't it nice? I use it all the time. I use it all the time. And I have two Amazon Echoes, so I kind of switch audio back and forth between those two. But I wonder if Apple's going to build it in, because I think it's called Spotify Smart Connect. I think it just came to me. But why would they build in Spotify functionality if it's going to be an Apple speaker?
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, if they could do the same thing, you know, if they could do the same thing with Apple Music. But Apple Music is getting kind of lapped by Spotify, isn't it? You know, people are saying that it's just not keeping up with Spotify's features.
I have just always preferred Spotify between the two music apps. I don't know why. It's just personal preference. I really like Spotify. And I like the Discover feature where they figure out new music for you every week that you can listen to that they think you'll like. Because for me, it's been very accurate. I just wish it were cheaper. That's the only thing about Spotify that I think Apple has a leg up on, is the fact that you can do a family plan for what, like 6 users for $15 on Apple Music or something like that. And I think Spotify, you don't get that many users. So it's just the price that I don't like. And the other thing you can do with Apple Music is you can pay with iTunes gift cards, which iTunes gift cards go on sale for 20-25% off online pretty regularly. So you can get yourself a discount that way as well. But yeah, I prefer Spotify. Okay, let me say a quick thank you to Backblaze for supporting this episode. Backblaze is unlimited cloud backup for your Macs and PCs. It also happens to be the cloud backup service that I use. I've been using it for years. And I am a paying customer. I pay for it just like everybody else. And what I like about it is Mac native. They have a native Mac app. It's really lightweight. It runs in the background. You don't even notice that it's there. And it's constantly just uploading all your files to the internet to make sure that your stuff is protected. And I don't want to be your mom here, but if you're not backing up, you really should be backing up. It only takes one time of you losing your data for you to realize you should have been backing up. Why didn't you back up? It's so inexpensive to back up. Backblaze is only $5 a month. And the really cool part is it's unlimited. And when I say unlimited, if you have 10 terabytes of hard drives plugged into your Mac, they will let you back all of that stuff up. It's all included for your $5 a month. I have terabytes of hard drives plugged into my Mac, and you can restore your data from anywhere in the world. And if you have a complete system failure, you can even restore it by mail. You can purchase a hard drive from Backblaze with all your data on it, and they will overnight to you via FedEx. And if you return the hard drive, you can get a full refund. Backblaze is gimmick-free. There's no additional charges or fees. And I recommend it. I use it. I like it. So it's great to have a sponsor of a service that I already pay for. If you want to check it out, head on over to backblaze.com/cultcast. Backblaze.com/cultcast. So Backblaze knows where you came from and continues to support our show. You can get started with a 15-day free trial as well at backblaze.com/cultcast. See how you like it. And if you decide to purchase service, like I said, it's $5 a month. Super inexpensive and absolutely worth it, in my opinion. Let's cruise through these iOS 11 best unknown features. Buster, let's see here. We got a few of them. So let's just cruise through these real fast. Do you want to kick us off here, Buster?
Oh.
You want to talk about drag and drop?
Drag and drop? Like system-wide drag and drop?
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, man. So it's not just for the iPad. Apple showed off all the drag and drop stuff with the iPad. But even on your iPhone, you can use the new drag and drop software to group multiple apps together, like super easily.
Yeah.
So you can just grab a couple at a time and then put them into a folder or however you want to do it, instead of having to do it one at a time, which was super
annoying. Have you tried it yet, Buster?
Yeah, I'm trying it right now. It's actually super easy. You just like wiggle them all and then you hard press them.
And it's true multi-touch, actually. It's the first time, really, I've used multi-touch except for games, on iOS. So what Buster was saying is, you know, if you want to, like, group icons together in a folder, you just have to create a folder and then drag all the different icons into the folder. Well, with the way it works in iOS 11, you just lightly touch on the icon, and then you start to move it. And then you hold that icon under your thumb, and then with your other thumb, you can start tapping on other apps, and it will move all of those other apps into a group where your first thumb was holding that initial app. And then if you want, you can use your second thumb to scroll through pages while your first thumb is still holding those apps in a group. So it makes it really easy to reposition apps onto different pages and also to group different icons into one folder. And actually, this also works in Photos. So if you're in the Photos app and you want to group together a bunch of photos to share them or something, you just click the Select button in the top right part of the Photos app, and then you touch one of the photos with your left thumb, and with your right thumb, you can start touching other photos, and it will send those photos into a group underneath your left thumb, and then you can do whatever you want with those photos. It's a little strange to try it for the first time because I know the mechanism to make this work is a little confusing, and it's probably even more confusing to hear me try to describe it.
Yeah.
But it works really well.
Yeah, I spent so many hours, you know, like trying to move my home screen, rearrange them, you know, you move because I've got about 8 pages of apps.
Yeah.
And I want to get something on the first page and it's on the last page, and it can take hours kind of messing around with that.
I know.
And it's kind of useless, yeah. Really. I mean, do you guys, you know, arrange stuff on your homepage? I don't even do it anymore.
Not really. Yeah, yeah, now I just use the Spotlight search.
Right, me too. Spotlight. Yeah, definitely.
That's exactly.
Almost
that's
every single time.
Too.
And in fact, the Siri search stuff is usually pretty good as well. The Siri app suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed how that actually changes with the time of day and where you are?
I have noticed that. Yeah, right. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it actually it's pretty great. It's usually pretty accurate. You know, often I find what I want there.
Yeah, it is kind of strange how accurate its predictions are. So if you're on the homepage and you just swipe down, right, it will suggest an app, and the suggestions are tailored upon where you are, and even like if you're connected to like your car or something like that, it's been really accurate on my part, because there's only apps I use like in the morning on certain days, and then as soon as I swipe down, it's like boom, there it is.
Right.
Let's see here. Oh, back to the bars. So, you know, with the signal bars in previous versions of iOS were changed into those little dots.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of this. And then as soon as we moved back to the bars in iOS 11, I realized how much more communicative bars are to the strength of your signal. Because now I realize like where I am in my neighborhood, I get terrible reception. And I had no idea. Even though I had those little dots before, I'd have 2 out of 5, I never really noticed. And now I can see that I have 2 little bars instead of 5 bars. And because they're short, it makes me realize, oh, dude, my reception here sucks. I don't know what good that does me.
Right. At least you know it now.
But at least I know. So we're back to bars in iOS. Buster, do you have an Apple TV? You do, right?
Yeah, I do.
And have you been using the Apple TV remotes in the control center?
Yeah, I'll use it every once in a while. Super handy now that it's just right there in control center. I mean, I still mostly use the physical hardware remote and forget that I have this on the
iPhone.
I do too. But yeah, having that on there is really nice. I mean, if they're not going to update the app, at least they put that in the control center part now.
So in previous versions of iOS, well, I should say iOS 10, you know, you had control panel when you swipe up or control center. Control panel. Now it's called control center. When you swipe up, you can adjust what icons are in control center, and you can add a Apple TV icon. And when you press on it, when you force touch it, it brings up the Apple TV remote on your iPhone. And it's really handy and actually really fast now that it can live in control center. And I know it's easier and I like it more using the hardware controller, but you know that thing is so damn small, like it falls between the cracks of my couch like every other day, and I'm always like, where's the Apple TV remote? I can never find it. And now it doesn't matter because I have a backup on my phone, so that's super handy. Oh man, have you guys tried using the augmented reality flyover in Apple Maps?
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah, because kind of like it allows you to be like Godzilla and roam around a city just in your house or whatever.
Exactly. So it's too bad it doesn't let you breathe fire and destroy buildings.
Oh, yeah. The only thing is when I played with it was really like super slow and laggy.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Yeah, I found it a bit disorienting too.
And it's really? Did it make you sick?
Yeah, and it's actually not that. It's not that. I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of as better to just do it with your finger. Don't you think? Did you not find that?
Well, I didn't think it was particularly useful for directions or anything like that. You know, I can't imagine like going to it every time, being like, oh, yeah.
It's kind of just a novelty.
Well, I went
exactly.
Yeah, I went to check out London, you know, where I used to live, and I got totally lost, which is kind of what happened to me in London anyway.
I'd stop and ask for directions.
But, you know, the difference with the AR is you have to you move the phone to look around, you know. And,
yeah,
and
I was just going to say, so for those that don't have iOS 11, what we're talking about, you know, you move the map with your finger in iOS 10, but in iOS 11, you move your phone, and it acts as a portal into the map, so it makes it much more immersive.
Well, yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever use it again. But it was cool.
So super useful then.
Yeah, it was definitely a cool feature. Hopefully they build more usefulness into it, because right now, yeah, it's just kind of a novelty. What about built-in screen recording, Buster? This is a big one.
Yeah, screen recording, and there in iOS 11 beta 3, there's also another option when you force touch on the screen recording. There's an option for start broadcast. So it looks like, because the screen recording will be great for people who want to like record games and stuff like that. But with the start broadcast, I'm guessing they're going to tie that into YouTube and Twitch, stuff like that. So you can have gaming sessions broadcasted live too.
That would be really cool, because right now I don't think there's an easy way to broadcast your phone to either of those platforms. You have to plug them in and use streaming software to stream. So that would be really handy. Okay, well, this last one is one that I'm excited about. This has been needed for a long time. This is that Apple is going to allow developers to access the NFC chip coming in iOS 11. So the NFC chip is currently only used to handle contactless Apple Pay transactions, as you probably know, and passbook check-ins and that type of thing. But with a new framework called Core NFC, developers will be able to build apps that can read and write to NFC tags in the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus and newer phones. And you might think, well, why is this useful? Well, there are gadgets and stuff out there that have NFC integration. For instance, there's this one device that I saw recently that I thought was super cool. It allowed you to put Amiibo files on this little disc, and you needed NFC on your phone to read and write the NFC files to this disc, and then you could use the disc to load your Amiibos in games. You could store like 50 Amiibos on this one little disc, and you could also... Just going to put this out there. There are also people who have backed up their Amiibo files to the web, and you could download their Amiibo files and put them on this disk and then use Amiibo that you couldn't otherwise buy because some of them are super rare. And for those of you that don't know what Amiibo are, they are little figurines for unlocking content inside of certain Nintendo games for Nintendo Wii U and Nintendo Switch. And you can get some pretty cool stuff in-game if you have some of these Amiibos. But the problem is that Nintendo limits the production on these Amiibo. So they sell out really quickly, especially like some of the more popular franchises like Zelda and stuff will sell out instantaneously. And then you can't get them unless you want to pay a scalper like $100 for a $15 figurine. So there's all sorts of possibilities out there. And Android has allowed you to read and write to NFC tags for a long time. So this is something that is a long time overdue, and I'm happy to see that Apple is building it in. I think that's all of them. We made it through probably 20 or 30 over this series, iOS 11 features that didn't really get a lot of juice on stage. And, you know, I'll keep tracking this. If we come up with any more, we'll definitely do this again in the future. And I'm sure there's going to be more stuff unearthed as we keep progressing through the betas. But these are all the best ones I could find so far. Let's wrap up with a story, shall we? Now, people criticized Steve Jobs for not being a philanthropist. He wasn't a well-known philanthropist. Maybe he did give a lot of his money away, but he didn't talk about it. But Scott Forstall, former Apple employee, lover of skeuomorphism, told a story recently that I thought was really heartwarming, and I'd like to relay it to you today. Would help you get to know the man, Steve Jobs, a little bit more. I'm just going to read this verbatim. I got this off a subreddit thread. The story goes like this. Steve and I would go to the cafeteria at Apple all the time, and he would insist on paying for my lunch. And I was like, Steve, you're paying me enough that I can afford the $8 lunch. But he'd always want to pay. If he got his food before me, he'd wait in line for me to get to the end of the line, and then Steve would pay with his Apple badge, just like all the other employees. So you'd come up with your badge, and the lunch would be withdrawn from your paycheck. And I was like, Steve, I feel like an ass when you're sitting up here waiting for me, and I can't get any long cooking food, which is actually a good point. Like, if you wanted to get, like, Thai food or something, then you're making Steve Jobs, like, hang out at the end of the line, wait for you to pay for your food. I would feel kind of bad about that, too. Well, when he said that to Steve, Steve just said, no, this is great. I only get paid $1 a year. I don't even know who's paying every time I scan my badge because he's not getting a paycheck. He's only getting paid $1 a year. So where are all these deductions coming from when he scans his badge? So Steve Jobs, a multi-billionaire, was up there waiting to pay for Scott's lunch because he got a kick out of scamming his own company out of pizzas and salads.
wasn't supposed to get the expensive sushi?
I hope so. Yeah. Well, if Steve Jobs was paying, would you get the expensive sushi?
I don't know. Yeah, good point. I'd get
some white rice and a glass of ice water.
Right. Yeah, and exactly. And Steve would be not approvingly. Yeah, glad to see you send some of the company some money there.
Actually, what we need to do if you went to impress him was just get a single bowl of broccoli, and then that's it for your lunch. Just be like, it's all I need, Steve. Isn't it delicious? Okay, let's go ahead. This is going nowhere fast. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you've got a Steve Jobs story you want to tell us, well, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And Leander, can we get a see you buttheads next time?
And Biff, in a Biff voice?
Yeah, give me your best.
I have no idea how it sounds, but see you buttheads next time.
that was spot on. That's spot on. I mean, actually,
you thought you were watching the movie?
Yeah, I feel like I just talked to Biff Tannen.
Oh, and
yeah.
We got to talk about Planet of the Apps someday. The listeners demand it.
We can start with Planet of the Apps.
I've never watched it.
That's fine. I haven't ever watched it either. But we can talk about it.
Okay.
Well, we better watch it and then talk about it.
You want to?
At least,
yeah, because otherwise, I'm just going to talk about why I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Who wants to hear that?
Right.
Everybody.
You can segue into your expensive AT&T.
It doesn't always segue into a rant about AT&T. There's like an 85% chance, 50% chance it won't. Yeah, that show. Never mind. I'm just gonna bitch about it.
Yeah.
It just annoys me. The way they have it set up annoys me. I hate to be critical of it because I think it's a good premise for a show, but
well, you can't really critique a show that you haven't seen, though. I mean,
I think you can.
That's the height of ignorance, isn't it?
I think you can. You might be right, but I still think it's possible. Besides, I mean, if I actually watched the show, it would be contrary to the central theme of our show: high entertainment, low facts. People might actually be upset if we talked about a show.
Yeah, changed it up. and actually knew what we were talking about.
Right. It's really like, piss off the- am I listening to Accidental Tech Podcast? I thought I put Cultcast on it. Yeah. Are you on the Accidental Tech Podcast now?